Let me tell you about Scott Cunith. He's a guy you want to be with. No, 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 not without. When you're looking to sell a house, same goes if you're buying. Don't even start trying if Scott's not in your corner. Oh, don't say that I didn't warn ya. He knows real estate so well, he could write the manual. He works for Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. Scott Cunith is absolutely essential if you're buying or you're selling residential. Oh, 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 Scott Cunith. Call him 248-797-7746. You're just the person he'd love to get an email from. SKUNNATH at CBWM.com. Scott Cunith, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The best stuff is brought to you by Scott Cunith. As you may have figured out, he gets all the data in there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Does he get the
email? You don't even
email?
Need to do a read then.
The email in there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did?
You weren't listening to the song?
I was enjoying it. I was just kind of getting off on the melody, I guess. You know, I do that all the time.
Carried like, you away to some other place.
Yeah.
I was saying that the other day. It's like, Blue on Black by Kenny Wayne Shepherd. I love that song. What is that song about again?
It's about police violence against... he's way ahead of his time, right?
Are you sure?
I have no idea.
Totally.
You know what, though? I'm going to the show, and I'm going to ask him that question.
Can
so
somebody
I'll have an answer
I'm
for
looking
it.
So
can
right
you
now.
Tell him that I love the song dearly, but I just ignorantly... because I sing along with it and stuff, and I crank it, and then I go, oh, what's that song? That's Blue on Black. Oh, Blue on... Really? Is that what it is? Blue on Black?
Blue on Black, yeah.
God, am I stupid?
What?
I...
Night is the first lyric.
There is an origin of it.
An origin story?
There's an origin story.
I don't know.
Blue is sadness and black is mourning. Is that it?
He said, when we wrote it, we were in New Orleans. Me, Mark, and Tia. I had the music, and Mark and I were just rolling with the music and tried to develop some things. Tia came up with this idea based on a shirt that I was wearing that was blue and black.
So that means nothing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. Let's see. That's pretty much
so
it.
Deep.
It's about a t-shirt.
Well, that makes me feel much better because I don't care what it's about. I just like it. I even like the words. But if it was blue on black, as in cops on black people,
of course it's not,
then that would seem kind of heavy and it would...
Well, that would have made... He would have had to predicted that. I mean, that was from 1996, so...
Yeah, he said it became a really deep song. It's really up to the listener to determine how they want to apply it, though. Because so many people have applied it to death in the family, an abusive relationship, broken relationship, whatever. There's so many different ways. That's what's so beautiful about music.
Well, I thought it was...
Blue on black.
I thought it was blue on black, like black and blue, like...
Yeah.
Bruises?
Yeah. Kinda,
but he kind of changed
what I really
up.
Thought about it.
So genius.com is like a lyrics website, and people can comment what they think it means.
So like song meanings?
Yeah. This guy wrote, the chorus offers a listing of metaphors for tiny things that don't matter, given the larger picture. The color blue doesn't even show up if it's placed upon black. A few tears are meaningless in the midst of a river. The song's narrator,
right.
The offending words of an ex-lover, which slip from the tip of her tongue, are likewise meaningless.
Wow.
Whatever. It just sounds cool.
That's funny. Lyrics that when they're too heavy, I just completely don't care. And I just accept them. If they sound good, if the singer's a good singer, it doesn't matter what the words are to me. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Well, Bohemian Rhapsody is opening this weekend.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
An effort to try to explain Bohemian Rhapsody. And they're basically... One critic said it's just gibberish and opera, but it doesn't mean anything, but it means something.
Bohemian Rhapsody. I know what a bohemian is. Rhapsody. I don't know, but I sing along. I love the song.
Oh, don't you?
Yeah,
everybody
absolutely.
Sings along.
It's funny when I heard this song called "However Absurd" by Paul McCartney. It's on an album that nobody cared about. It was like mid-80s when, you know, all the ex-Beatles were sort of disappearing. Just people, it was sort of like backlash almost. So it's actually kind of it was in that Paul doing John thing.
Yeah, because this sounds like Imagine.
It also sounds like I'm the Walrus a little bit. He said the tone of the
piano is...
Yeah, it's kind of walrusy.
Yeah, and old-timey.
And the lyrics are really weird. I think it's based on, it's supposed to be impressionist, as in half of what I say is meaningless. Remember the song Julia?
Uh-huh.
Which was John's, you know, way of saying, you say a lot of crazy things to draw attention to the thing you mean.
Oh.
You know, breaking eggs in a dish, blah, 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 you know.
Oh, that's deep too.
I thought it was pretty heavy. but in the end, I just liked the song whether I liked the song or not. It didn't really make any difference to me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was... Oh, and also, he disguises his voice on it, which is a Lennon thing.
Yeah. That's why I love Pink Floyd songs, too, is because they don't mean anything to me, although Roger Waters would be really mad for me saying that. But and when I found out they were about him in World War II, I was like, oh, God, that spoils it, because I thought it was all, like, futuristic, and here it's about his house being bombed.
Man, I don't think I want to know a lot of times.
I did not want that to be what it was all about.
I don't really think McCartney wrote about things like impressionist type things. That seems a little heavy for him. But he was doing John.
This was during McCartney's greatest mullet era, too.
Was this during his heavy weed phase, too?
Oh, he was deep into Linda here.
I think he's just I think he's pretty stoned from, I would say, like 67 to maybe 90. I think he starts chilling out. The kids are getting older. But there's clips of him, one where he's describing a bust, like what happened. He's so high. Oh, my God. He's claiming that, somebody sent us some seeds, and we just planted them, and we didn't know pot was going to come up. And his eyes are so red, and Linda's behind him looking totally high. He was a royal stoner. I mean, really major stoner.
Well, isn't that how she became a vegetarian or a vegan? Because they looked up after being stoned to the bone, and there were lambs looking in the back window. And they're like, oh, my God, we can't eat meat anymore.
Yeah, I think he saw an animal being slaughtered, actually.
Oh.
I think. I thought
it was just a little lambs looking in the back door. Nice move on there.
I didn't take a lot of interest in that part. I don't know. It's funny. He was a vegetarian, though, way before it was a thing, I guess. Because I remember when he first became a vegetarian, people just thought that was so stupid. But
then they put him on The Simpsons because of it.
Yeah.
Well, he requested that Lisa become a vegetarian in order for him to appear on the show. And
a fictional character.
So ever since he showed up.
We need to keep like a score for McCartney, because that's got to be a minus one on your likeness form. That's a little weird.
I give him a little credit for being, for meaning it. But
no wrong in your eyes.
No, I have to tell you
something.
You
can't even get a minus one for demanding a fictional character be vegetarian.
I'll give him a minus two because I went to the show and we had the sound check passes.
Ooh, again.
Which included food, which was vegetarian.
What?
And honestly, it was okay, but it's like, well, do you have to impose this? It's sort of like Aerosmith when no one could drink in the arena.
Yeah.
Does he get minus five for having Linda in the band? Trying to think of what other negative things you can
say
about your idol.
He did a lot of circle jerking.
Oh, that's a plus. That's like plus eight because it was with John.
I will say this, when I hate saying this, but when she died, his music did improve. It was kind of nice hearing him do the harmonies with himself. But Wings were good. I liked a lot of Wings songs, so it wasn't... I just didn't like seeing her on stage. Honestly, that was the worst thing of all. It was like, get your wife off the stage.
Yeah.
But I think I didn't take it too badly because Yoko was getting every other track on the last album of Lennon. So it seemed
It seemed okay because
it seemed innocuous compared to that. And those songs were horrible. And every time someone says they're good, I'm just livid. And the Beatles channel is really funny. I'm sorry to Beatles out here, but you know, they have famous people who they're Fab Four, and there's no end to the people that are willing to do it. Anyway, they have guest DJs all the time. And Paul Schaefer was guest DJing. And Paul Schaefer made it all about him, which happens about once every 10 guest DJs. Most of them are totally revved. They just love the Beatles madly. Paul Shaver's like, yeah, I have a lot of experience with the Beatles. I played keyboards for Yoko Track, and here it is on the Beatles channel. I was like, no!
What song was it?
I have no idea. It was horrible.
One more reason to hate Paul Shaver.
Then he played a song by someone else. I can't even remember who it was, but George Harrison had contributed a guitar track, so he claimed he was on a song with George Harrison, but George wasn't even singing the fucking song. So I'm like, oh, you, that's all you care about. Shaver!
Oh, here's the track he played on with her, I think. God. Here it is.
I like Paul Shaver, too, but he really bummed me out.
I don't know where the keys come in on this, but let's see. Looks like she's arriving on stage. There's Paul in the back.
I do sit at the piano and do lots of work, yeah.
Oh, she's walking to the
microphone. Are you serious? He played live with her? It's a great track.
I'm wrong. This is her art show. The best part is there's, you know, a crowd looking at her and... None of them are like, oh, this is amazing art. That means something. They're all looking at her like, this fucking idiot.
They're actually smiling.
Yeah, they're laughing at her.
I got to tell you, the worst thing ever was in...
It has captions.
In 69, before the Beatles broke up, Lennon did a show called Live Peace in Toronto with Eric Clapton. Klaus Voormann, and I can't remember where the drummer was, but Clapton and Lennon.
Yeah.
And they played 8 or 9 songs, and they're on a live album. And then they played a 26-minute jam with Yoko in a hefty trash bag, just screaming into a microphone like that. And I'm watching
it
on stage going,
see this.
Wait, Clapton's wailing? Lennon's wailing? Why? Eric, say something!
I want to see this. What year was it? Toronto?
69 Live Peace in Toronto, I believe it's called.
All right.
They played Dizzy Miss Lizzy.
Don't worry.
Oh, don't worry, Kyoko. She had
a, oh, dear Lord.
You know, when I was a kid, I bought... I'm trying to remember the single I bought. It might have been Imagine, and she had the B-side. And I remember, because I used to play B-sides, because when you got Beatle B-sides, they were good.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, I want to send the B-sides. Fucking Yoko. What?
Did you at any point think it was really good and you just didn't understand it?
No, never.
Where's she in the trash bag?
It's kind of, I think it's about 5 minutes in.
Are you yelling
now? No, that's, you're in the wrong part of the show. That's the beginning.
Or the good part?
It's him playing your blues.
You showed me this before, so I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's...
Spoiler alert.
It's an abomination.
Yeah. That said, it was
fun. I hate even listening to it. Shut up. It's so fucking bad. It's just stunning. It's like, oh my God, how did this happen? And people paid for these tickets.
Oh my God, here he's playing with Chuck Berry, and she's going to scream too.
Is he on the Mike Douglas show?
I think so. Hang on.
They hosted a week on the Mike Douglas show, which is so weird. I mean, Trudy, you know the Mike Douglas show.
Yeah.
John Lennon guest hosted for a week.
That's bizarre.
I know. He has Chuck Berry on, and he and Chuck Berry sing. They do like rock and roll music, or they do a couple songs. Sounds really good. It's like, oh my God, John Lennon. I mean, how often did John Lennon play live on TV? Almost never.
My like aunt nanny used to watch that show.
You know, isn't it weird that David Bowie was on that show with Iggy Pop?
I can't imagine what they were thinking when they.
I think every now and then they thought, hey, let's hip things up a little bit, get some of these rock people on. So anyway, after Chuck plays with John, John has some like macrobiotic diet person on, and they're cooking, and Chuck's there, like hanging out, like he gives a fuck. And then
his farts are so sweet.
Probably. Then they did some yoga thing, and Chuck's there doing yoga. Like, this is fucking bizarre.
Oh my God.
Just to set the scene here, so you got Chuck Berry with a guitar, John Lennon with a guitar, there's a guy with a bass behind him, another guitar, a third guy, fifth guy with a guitar, the drummer, guy in keys.
What's the guy with the hat and the drums?
And Yoko's holding one bongo. Why the fuck is she out there?
Wow, look at
Chuck.
Beat
it, Yokes.
Chuck's styling in purple.
I hated the...
Oh, wait, she's got the microphone. Heads up.
There was a narrative that John was a feminist. And then putting Yoko, giving her equality in his music was a feminist. It's like, no, that's stupid!
He used to carry his guitar in a gunny sack. Beneath the tree by the railroad track. Old engineer with him.
Wait, is her mic off? Because she's got it up to her mouth, and it looks like she's
singing. Her mouth is moving.
People passing by, they would stop and say, oh my, but that little country boy.
Does she start screaming on here?
I don't hear her.
There's one thing I loved about this song. It was always the bongos in it.
Well, that instant karma performance. She's knitting with blindfold on.
Yeah, that's great.
She has a microphone. She has a microphone, at least.
She's actually trying to sing.
She's trying to. You're right, Trudy. They cut her mic
off.
Hey, I give the Mike Douglas crew like that for that.
Props.
Never gonna get Lennon back on.
That was probably the Wednesday show. They'd had enough by Wednesday.
Can't you auto-tune Chuck Berry's fart and make a decent song about it?
Sure.
With it?
Oh, I'm sure it could be put to music. It'd probably be a beautiful song. Hey, north, south, east, or west, realtor Scott Kunith has you covered.
Sounded like a cheer.
Call or text Scott at 248-797-7746 or email him if you're looking for a house. Any kind of all your residential real estate needs. S. Kunith at CB. WM. That's SKUNNATH at CBWM. And we'll get on with the best of coming up.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may.
I was listening to some, I was trying to find old shows with Mike on there, and there's some episodes I was having trouble accessing, which is frustrating. But I did find an old episode, and maybe we can dig it up sometime, where Mike's talking about, and it really was making me laugh. Mm-hmm. We started off on the Aretha book and the Van Halen book, which were, mm-hmm. for some reason, I was reading both of them.
I think we used that
time.
In the best of already.
Did we use that? Okay, yeah. It was good. And then
I think it was after Aretha died, didn't we?
No, 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 no. This is before she died. This is 2016.
No, I think we used it.
Oh, we used it. We used it. Okay.
I think.
And then somehow Mike took it into Katie Couric, liking cameras in her ass. And I think he killed me because he said, yeah, they didn't have to start the camera 50 feet away from her ass.
It's true.
For some reason, he just loved that topic, the Katie Couric, you know, yeah. which really was meant for the betterment of the world. But anyway,
well,
I was very amused by that.
That was really groundbreaking because nobody ever, you know, like knew that they took pictures unless you had one of those.
Yeah.
And then you got to look at your own. But, you know, she sort of brought it out in the mainstream.
I don't know why, but why have a camera? Why is showing that? I mean, couldn't you have just talked to somebody and said that this is what they do and you should do it?
So they could show you how nice and like sparkly clean it all is in there.
Oh.
I think they just get off on that. They're scat freaks.
I just remember the shot
from
when it got about 5 feet away of seeing her ass. That's all I remember about it. It's really weird.
It's poop.
Did they show you your pictures? Or?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't get
and
to
I did not want to see them. Absolutely
the
not. I just know I was okay. All right,
sir, I just need to check inside your asshole.
Just remember this. It's somewhere in some cloud.
Oh my
Fine.
God.
If anybody wants to see it, I don't care.
Someone's going to hack that doctor to find your butt video.
But the best of does include Mike Clark, and it's he's talking about getting to the show, which became quite problematic. I don't know how dramatic he makes it.
And then, believe it or not, he starts talking about his love of flying.
Well,
it's actually funny. Well, I you know from when how he got
no
into
way.
It,
and also some to Redstone, which I and as soon as you said some to Redstone, I knew what that was all about because that was wild. Yeah. Oh my God! What I mean, who'd have thunk it? Then Donato the Fisherman returns after many years of absence because we knew him back in the Ellion days, mm-hmm. and that infamous picture. I mean, who would not remember that picture if you saw it? Of Donato the Fisherman holding Ellion as those stormtroopers
yeah.
have a machine gun in his face, yeah. hiding in the closet. I mean, as if they weren't going to find him.
The reason we called him was to eulogize Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
They broke Elian's bed.
Where's she?
That was the Maris Lysis.
Yeah, Maris Lysis Gonzalez.
She's married now, and I think she works at a hair salon, and I don't know.
Wow, can you imagine having your hair done and having to hear that voice?
Oh,
the
no.
That reedy sort
they
of
broke
a...
Elian's bed.
She's unmistakable.
And they broke the door of my mom's room.
Sounds like a clarinet.
Come on, and sit down. I'll do your hair.
Badly played.
You know what's funny about that, though? That really is, sir, reminds me of things today. Because there were people who thought, oh, the father gets the kid. It's the father's kid. And then there were all those people down in Florida, especially like, no, she belongs. He belongs with Maris Lysis. And every time her voice so squeaked, stupid. They got more emotional. He should stay here. And all those big protests in Florida. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Tonato, the fisherman, was holding Elian here.
Tonato, the fisherman.
Tonato, the fisherman.
Who was not a fisherman?
I think if you have a badly played clarinet played next to that, it will sound exactly alike.
Donato, the fisherman, was holding Elian here.
Oh, my God. They broke Elian's bed. She was so dramatic. Betty.
The names, too. Maris Lysis, Donato.
He doesn't give two shits anymore because he was huge, right? You know, Castro was really cool to him when he came back and
oh, Elian?
Oh, yeah. Elian? Oh,
he's
killing Elian
he's a
owns
celebrity.
A place.
Elian, he's
living in a castle over there.
He hosts a TV show down there.
And if he'd stayed here, he'd just be living in Florida.
Yeah, with
he thinks he's hot, by the way.
In a broken bed. He'd be sleeping in a broken bed. Then we, I do vaguely remember this. Betty, the 90-year-old, who went to the Thanksgiving Day parade, which was becoming, it's just something very small that we turned into something much larger.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's delightful.
If you go this year, make sure you say happy birthday to her.
And Dish Nation, one of our favorite topics is Dish Nation. I swear, if I have a chance to catch Dish Nation, I always will. It's one of the great hate watches on television.
Mm-hmm. It'll make you hate radio.
Yeah, hard to That's appreciate not what radio. Did it. I would have to.
It gives good radio a bad name because people think that's radio.
So, and there's more, as always, on the Best of Drew and Mike, always brought to you by Realtor Scott Kunith. Whether you're selling your home or buying your first home, it should not be a stressful situation. 26 years of advertising and sales. Realtor Scott Kunith can say the biggest contributor to stress is lack of communication. So he encourages you to text him or call him. He'll do either one. He'll keep you informed through every step of the buying or selling process. If he doesn't know the answer, he'll get it. His word is his guarantee. Call, text, or email Realtor Scott Kunith of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual to see what your home is worth or help you in finding a new one. 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746 or skunath at CBWM. SKUNNATH at CBWM. And I liked what he's describing. Selling home to Zach, who was his first client from the show, and he asked him to make a list of must-haves, would-like, and bonus. Oh. And it is hard when you're buying a house to figure out what you know. I don't like that. It's like, you're not getting that, so just forget about that.
I forgot about this, too. He sent me a picture of the area that Zach wanted him to search.
Mm-hmm. The penis. It looks like a penis on the map. I know, that was very fascinating. But, you know, when you're looking for a house and people are always like, but what about that? It's like, you're spending $250,000. You're not going to get everything. So I thought that was must-haves.
What are must-haves, by the way?
A bathroom. You must have a bathroom.
You don't.
You must
really
have a kitchen.
You could just have a hole.
You don't need a kitchen. You don't have to have a kitchen.
I need a kitchen. What if someone else needs it?
Has that ever happened?
Not recently.
You just need a microwave. You need a nook.
You're right. I need a microwave. Okay, it's not a must-have for me. It's a would-like. No, it's a bonus. The kitchen is a bonus for me.
You don't even need a bedroom.
Not really. No, just...
A studio and a bathroom and a couch.
Cable that works, electricity that works, Wi-Fi that works.
Either of those.
I know. That's what I mean. That sucks. We all know it. Anyway, I'm with the best of Drew and Mike.
You know what I think about this?
Starting a little late today.
Just a wee bit.
And I laughed out loud when I received the following text a few minutes ago. I was upstairs finishing up a couple things in the tabloids, and Mr. Mike Clark wondered if I was digging a hole to get to the basement. Finding that I was running a little behind, I guess.
Well, that's after the stinger you sent me before that. Because I was running late there, don't trapped hopelessly in traffic on Woodard. How people stand going eastbound on 696 from, say, Losher all the way through to Woodward and beyond. I don't know how you people do it every day.
I don't make that...
Between 5 o'clock and after.
I don't make that Losher to Coolidge commute very often.
Well,
or Losher to Woodward commute.
Yeah.
But that's just a few
what
exits.
What a clusterfuck.
So traffic was from Losher to Woodward was particularly...
Oh, I think it's always like that. When you're at beyond 5 o'clock, and I was running late today, so I got myself trapped in. Let's make no mistake.
What was running late? What was going on?
Why was I running late?
You're just curious.
You really want to know?
Kind of. Yeah.
I was looking for things. And
Mark Fellhauer keeps saying, you got to get Mike Clark to do an audio diary of his day. I thought it sounded silly. I was like, no, I would like to hear that. I really would.
Sorry, I'm late. It's just like this new schedule is totally confusing.
Yeah, that's part of it, too. I think it's just me being a slow motherfucker, man.
Okay.
It takes me forever to do shit.
You got a lot going on.
I guess, Don. I don't know. Jesus Christ, man. Like some old man. Some old fool. Get going, you old fool.
Well, you've always had a procrastinational...
Yeah, you might say that. Yeah, you can say that.
You've been working that one for a while.
Yeah, but it did take me long, and I did not anticipate traffic that horrific.
You texted me that you were on Woodward, and it was a crawl or something like that, and I was like, really, Woodward was that slow?
Woodward, well, I...
Were you like
coming
Woodward,
up on Woodward?
Coming
Maple?
Up on Woodward. Were you on Woodward like Maple-ish and then coming straight down Woodward?
Oh, no. Actually, no, I was basically trying to say I was on 696 eastbound coming up on Woodward.
Oh, so the two blocks were backed up?
No, that was backed up miles before that.
Not Woodward. Why do you shamelessly waste my time?
I got
like
both
this.
Of you on against me now. I'm doomed. Boy, and if Jay had all, oh man, look at those drops. Boy.
Case, motherfucker!
Here we go. We're off to the races.
Okay, so Woodward was not that bad. It was just a
No, it was 696. And there was a gigundous, huge fucking truck in every single lane. There was one monster gravel hauler, I swear, in every lane. And that meant no matter where you went, you would end up crawling.
Come on!
And you'd have to work your way to get in front of that big, huge, crawling motherfucker.
What lane do you usually drive
in front of it.
Which one?
I like to go far left, but so does everybody else. And then when some goddamn semi decided to, he was going to go in the left lane, it's like, what are you fucking doing? Now you've really clusterfucked the whole thing up now.
Well,
we don't have an escape lane. That's our escape lane, man. This guy took it right out.
This was quite a commute from hell.
It was a commute from hell.
Way around it.
Not only that, Drew, it got worse from there. I started developing a huge Charlie horse on the top of my foot that was running up the back of my leg.
You have a stick shift?
No, sir. That's where I was like, what's this coming from? I never get a foot cramp going up the back of my leg.
Did you have to pull over?
I wanted to in the worst way. I was just like, but I couldn't because there was so much traffic. If there wasn't been much traffic, I would have pulled over. I was in so much pain. It was unbelievable. And every time I pushed on the accelerator, that's all it took for that cramp to go, and just go,
I'm in pain all the time.
Let's go.
A Charlie horse.
Let go.
It's back.
That's one hell.
Injured while driving.
Yeah. I had a real war coming over here. You
it's
don't understand.
It's dangerous out there.
You don't have the half of it.
No, it was a long commute.
It was a long commute, so I understand.
When you said you were en route, I always take that to mean like you're in the driveway.
Yeah.
And en route was like 4:35.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be pretty close to on time.
And I
what
think,
time is it? Because I'm hurting.
Yeah, I was hurting. I love that.
You need a driver?
Nice drop.
You need a driver?
Uber?
No, I can grab
you. Maybe you should get an Uber.
You probably should get him picked up.
Yeah, maybe No, then there's less. I need the excuses like this, though. If I have you take me, then you'll know what's really going on. And you'll find out that I have a big habit with these whores.
The other day I saw a truck that looked just like yours parked down the street.
Is that you? Is
that you?
Like a half hour before you entered? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
He was parked a couple
I don't
houses
know
down
what you're talking about.
We were clogging the driveway, and we usually open the driveway for Mike, so he didn't have to walk as far. And so, yeah, he was a couple houses down, and we cleared the driveway, and I texted him, and he moved to the driveway. Quite a process with Mike. When he's on his normal schedule, he'll get here like 20 minutes early. He'll hang out in the car for 15, doing God knows
what.
What
do you do? What do you do in the car?
Oh, I pinch my penis. Down? And
this is why we need the audio
tweak
diary.
I pinch my penis, pinch my penis. Couple of shots of alcohol. I text up a storm. I got to tell 100 people I've just arrived.
See, if we had an audio...
They're coming in now.
we had an audio diary, yeah, we could find out the answers to all these things.
Oh, that'd be great.
When
that'd be great.
When he leaves, he also spends 20 minutes in the car before he drives
out of the driveway.
But
it's getting better.
Warm up?
It's getting better. Just so that you won't give me shit for that. Now I pull out, and then I go around the corner and I park.
There's no harm. You can just sit in the car. It doesn't bother anybody. It's just interesting.
Just the unknown. Right.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder what he's doing in the car.
You know too much. That's the problem. You've always known too much.
You had a delayed response upon leaving. Even in the work days, you would sit in the parking lot for a while.
You're right.
Really, anybody really had a problem.
You know what?
With
you're right about that. That's really true. That's interesting. I'll be damned. You're right about that.
Your car was your office, it seemed.
You're right about that.
I think they were planning. Appointments were made.
Most people are peeling out, trying to get home. And
that's a very good assessment.
That's why I still say
that
the
almost
audio
scares
diary.
Me that you know that much about me.
Well, you're usually on the phone, so I figure you're accomplishing something, and it's a peaceful.
Well,
quiet
I am.
Time.
I'm not. Yeah, because I'm not just sitting there, you know, pounding off or anything. I'm getting things done. But I got a stinger from you, and it was like, what, are you walking here or what? It's like, you know, it pissed me off, but for a second I thought, well, you know, he is right. It's ridiculous. So when it took you an hour.
The driveway like 2 hours ago.
I know. But then when you were up there for so long after I got here at, what was it, 20 to 6? And it was like 6:40.
20 to 6? No.
6:40, all of a sudden you showed up.
Was he here 5:40?
Look at him.
Because if I hadn't. If I'd known you were at 540, there's no way I would have been.
But look at that. Look at that. You're all pissed off.
Wait.
Can't be true. No, but hey.
I thought it was like 620 or something.
It was. No. But it was a perfect opportunity for me to say, hey, you're digging a hole down here.
No, it was very funny. I laughed. I did. I got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah,
but I wasn't upset about your.
But you know, man. No, I know. I'm kidding.
Were you worried about it?
I'm kidding. All the way across the board.
Well, when he said he was on Woodward...
Yeah, you figured I'd be here any time.
That's when I thought, like, that's when you start thinking, did something go wrong? But just having worked with Mike before,
yes.
It's not time to panic yet.
No,
that's clear.
22 years teaches you a few things.
Come on, while we're young.
Together for a long time, you learned a lot of things about me.
There are a number of things that could have caused being on Woodward to a matter of what's normally a 5-minute drive to be a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
A number of things.
Yeah, but that is interesting about over at Riff. It did become kind of an office vehicle. It was a cry room too. Don't forget.
Oh yeah, yeah. After a depressing, really disturbing the call that laughed off at the time, but had to be cried off later.
Jeez, many a time.
Many times, especially those pictures comparing me to old women and all that, and all that stuff. You made me cry so much. People made me cry so much. They don't know.
They'll never know. Holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is.
I know. It's true.
Salmon shirt that was voted pink.
Yeah, that hurt me too. That hurt me bad. Yeah. And that was bullshit.
Did you get rid of that shirt?
It was an election.
It wasn't pink. Don, it was coral.
The shirt was elected. Coral. It was elected pink.
Well, I had a say in the matter.
The audience looked at it and
they said pink.
Many voted. I mean, that was the most votes.
After you taught them it was pink, then asked them to vote. Of course, it said pink.
I think one of them would have taught us too.
Yeah, I suppose.
But yeah, there might have been a learning curve there.
Could be. But I'll tell you this: anybody that's forced to go eastbound on 696 every day,
how they do it
without flipping their fucking lid is beyond me.
You know, speaking of places, pockets that do not become part of Mike Clark's life for some strange reason. I remember distinctly, this is really funny. you texted me and you wanted, it might have been pre-text, you might have even called me, and you wanted really good
smoke signals,
not just directions. You wanted really good directions to the airport, and the reason is because Mike doesn't pick up people at the airport very often, and because he flies himself, he doesn't really go to the airport that often. But he's been in the state for quite a while. You would think.
I mean, Metro,
Detroit, really? Metro, yes, and Tess proceeded to. Because she's better with those. I said, well, can you give Mike detailed, good directions to Metro? I mean, she's like, to Metro? Who are they for? And I said, for Mike. She's like, Mike Clark? Like, yeah. And she typed out good directions for you. And the funny thing was, you thanked me profusely. And then the next day, you texted me. I think you texted me twice. Oh, tell Tess. Those were the best directions. Oh, my God. I can't get over how good the directions were.
Are you a landmark guy? Like, turn right at the... You know,
yeah. Pilotage, man. Okay. You'll buy landmarks.
Okay.
Yeah, that's funny.
Dead reckoning.
I prefer streets and distances.
Right. East,
most
west,
guys
north,
do.
Right.
Yeah.
But I can't see why flying is so appealing to you, because you do like detail.
I do.
You revel in detail.
I get bogged down in detail.
But you revel in it. You like it. And
I guess I do.
To fly a plane, you need to know all those
coordinates,
details, your checklist, right. All those things.
Yeah,
it's a good match.
Tonight, you and I are going to talk in great detail.
What's funny is
that's true, though. You're right about that.
Flying is a very cool thing to be able to do, and a lot of people are very envious of pilots. And every now and then you get the comment, Mike Clark, how can Mike Clark fly a plane? And it does suit you. It does. It fits you.
I loved it since the day I was born.
You have to think about it, but it does.
Yeah.
It suits you.
Suits me. It always has.
I bet your plane probably flies itself, doesn't it? Autopilot?
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know what would happen. That's probably why it suits me, Don. But I remember as a kid, though, shit, my dad would take me out to the plane. He'd lift me up to look in the window, and I want to see the cockpit, and always, you know, check the door. Oh, we can get in it. My dad put me inside the plane, and I just loved airplanes from when I was 3 years old.
I think every boy does.
Is that right?
There's a fraternity.
I was about to tell a really nice story. You fucked that up, Don.
Oh, okay. I meant
you're talking about when I was three.
Every boy's
kids.
Like trains.
Yeah. Now I like planes, you know, and all my toys were planes. I didn't have any cars or, you know, mine were airplanes. That's what I wanted.
Nobody cares.
I wanted to be a pilot. I was in there creating false cockpits and pretending I was a pilot, you know, when I was real little. And I went for my first flight lesson when I was 7. And
oh, you had a flight lesson at 7? I didn't know that.
Boy, was she
really
hot, too. Which I still remember this day. Nancy was her name. Nancy.
So you were almost one of those brat pilots?
Yeah, I guess so.
Could have been. Man, was she hot. Maybe that's why I wanted to be a pilot.
So when did you get your license?
When I turned 17, you got to be 17 to get a license.
That's
my 17th
young.
Birthday, I got my license.
Did you happen to listen to the podcast yesterday?
I didn't.
Okay. Thanks for supporting us, by the way.
Well, I wanted to listen to it in the Jeep with a patch cord, to be honest with you.
It's we started out with Sumner Redstone, the head of Viacom and CBS, this 92-year-old, and there's this big fight over his money. His final girlfriend, he's not dead, 51-year-old, apparently was promised a certain number of $1 million, and I guess the will's being changed, and she's being shut out, and she's all upset, and she's suing, and anyway... Somehow in court, it came up, you know, how competent is Sumner Redstone? And someone brought up, well, he's pretty competent at arranging threesomes. And they've got audio of him on this chick's voicemail talking about these threesomes and what's going to happen. How he wants to have this guy, Bob, his friend Bob, who I think might be Bob Evans, the movie producer.
Not the restaurateur.
No, not that Bob Evans.
Have some biscuits on her bare ass.
Wait, am I thinking of
nice
Bob
gravy
Evans?
On her butt.
The great Hollywood producer, Matt, is his name Bob Evans? The guy that, have you
Bob
seen?
Bob Evans, Gone in the Form.
The documentary's called The Kid.
Oh, crap.
Drive me crazy. The Kid Stays in the Picture. The Kid Stays in the Picture?
Yep.
Is it Bob Evans? Robert Evans. Yeah, I think it was Robert Evans.
All right.
Anyway, he's like... He's telling his chick that he wants this other guy to be in the threesome.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I've never had another guy in there, but I want a Bob in there.
But he wants, that's creepy.
And he's like, first you'll suck off Bob and you'll fuck me.
Yeah,
then
right.
Then I'll fuck you and you'll suck off Bob.
Yeah, right.
He's this 92-year-old guy
instructing
these chicks what's going to happen in these threesomes. These chicks, by the way, are all smoking hot.
Wow.
It's so bizarre, though, and this guy's, you know, one of the most powerful people in the history of the entertainment world.
Oh, my God.
And it turns out he also was Oh, there's Robert Evans. God, he looks old. Wow. I can't believe these two guys in these foursomes and fivesomes.
Viagra, what a gross, with his balls dragging along and popping Viagras every 2 seconds.
And Sumner Redstone, by the way, was in a fire in 1979. He's burned over 45% of his body. If it's not bad enough that he's 92,
God,
the guy's just a mess.
Oh, Jesus.
But what he is one horny dude.
How dysfunctional.
I know.
At that age, it's like, will you please put that fucking thing back on the rack?
Put that thing away. Retire that thing,
exactly.
For God's sakes.
Put the fucker back in the cabinet, will you? You know, and all these women thought... this is funny, these tabloids. It's been so long to hear anything in the tabloids.
I know. This story's gone mainstream. It's all over. Vanity Fair's got a big story in Southern Redstone. This fight over his money, and this threesomes thing came up, and, man, everybody's picking up. Gawker's got a great story. If you want to hear the threesome story, go to Gawker and search on Southern Redstone arranging threesomes, and the audio is on there, too. And
look out for the guys that want another guy in the mix.
Can you bring up that audio?
You know what that's all about.
Do you want to hear some of the audio? We just played it yesterday.
Sure, yeah.
Since
sure,
you haven't heard it.
Yeah,
Everyone else is listening going, I listened yesterday. I fucking heard it.
Nah.
But, well, here's what's going to happen. It's very hot. Patricia's coming home. I tell you, she's gorgeous.
Tell me if it could be Pat O'Brien.
The first thing I said.
Was it?
Never
too funny.
With,
just say yes. Just say yes.
She's jerking off herself.
Oh,
his nomenclature's a little off.
Then maybe I'll have her.
Yeah, really.
Before we get in bed.
Oh my God.
This is get him hot by sucking his prick. We're going to bed. He'll fuck on, she'll suck me. I'll fuck on, she'll suck him pretty good, huh? You wouldn't want that.
You wouldn't want that.
If you play your cards right.
To take on the whole force of the police and the thought of after him tonight. We'll have to guide him. Because he's nervous. See, I've done this before, and so has Patricia. After many years, sure, she's looking forward to it. Very hot. You'd love to suck her up, I'm telling you. Anyhow, so thanks for the message. Maybe next week you can join us.
It's not because you're paying her $10,000.
Yeah,
it's because
right.
She's very hot.
Yeah,
just
right.
Thinking about it. You can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you do, the Melrose hang up after all that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, was that disgusting.
I know.
That was terrible. That was just fucking putrid.
I know you're going to be hot, me and Robert Evans, who's like 80.
God.
And these chicks are just smoking hot, too.
Oh, I know. And here's this guy, this half-hard old man. Fucking
Mark was suggesting that Bob is his sexual avatar, that he can't really get it up at all. So he's kind of living through Bob vicariously.
Okay. Yeah.
He's got to see some guy get off to
off. Right. Yeah, probably.
Up in your kitchen, I saw a new Cubs hat. You went out and got yourself a new Cubs hat?
I got a Cubs hat, yes. I got a few Cubs hats for my birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
Who got them for you?
Tested. What?
Nice.
Why, did you get him a Cubs hat and now you're worried that you have to take it back to the store?
No, the girls did make you a Halloween bag.
Oh, nice. Oh. Look at the little bag.
And they gave you good candy, too. I made sure of it.
Happy birthday, Halloween. True.
Now look at the back.
It's dump it out. Dump it out like a candy bag.
From Lily, Abby, and Maddie.
And they drew little balloons on there.
And Tommy.
Well, that's very nice. Would anyone like some candy?
You want to see the candy supply?
Well, dump it out. Let's see.
I see it.
Good stuff. They gave you some full-size candy bars in there.
Wow, that's a lot of calories right there. That's some serious. Go ahead.
So yesterday, you know.
Milky Way?
Taking Charlotte trick-or-treating. We come back and, of course, I just chowed on a shitload of candy.
What's your favorite?
I was so bummed out
by any Mounds, by the way? I didn't get one Mounds bar.
More Almond Joy, but I was
Did you go trick-or-treating?
Of course I did.
Was a bag of your own?
No, I just went with the kids.
Sounded like it. I didn't get any Mounds bars.
I ate so much candy and I was so disgusted by myself that all the latecomers to my house just made out because I was getting rid of everything. I'm like, I cannot have this stuff in the house because I will just eat it because I'm a fat pig.
By the way, remember yesterday I told you I was not going to be at home to man the snacks, so I left the bowl.
Yes.
Did you do the experiment?
What was the experiment?
Let's put out pretzels and candy and see which one.
I put pretzels and stuff in there as well. And I came home. How much was in the bucket left?
None.
Not one piece. Some rotten kid, you know, took
of course.
It and dumped the whole damn thing.
We knew that was going to happen.
He's telling the story. Some fool left all this crap on his porch. So I took it off.
Every single one.
And I egged his house. His name was Drew.
Except I left the pretzels, but his asshole left pretzels in there.
My friend Drew took all the candy like he said he was going to.
Rotten kid.
I got to tell you, I had probably 50 trick-or-treaters.
Oh, nice.
Did you have a lot?
You know what? I did the trick-or-treating, and then after when I got home, we had a good amount. We get a lot in Berkeley. You know, it's a good family city.
Ooh.
Okay, what's up? My first, let's see. I'd say my first 30 trick-or-treaters, I'd say 25 of them were black.
Yeah. Is that odd?
I've never seen a black child on this block.
Really?
Not that I care. I mean,
I had an adult ring my bell at like 10:15. I had an adult.
I had
and
some...
the car was warming up outside.
What'd you give them?
I didn't open the door.
Maybe they needed something.
I had some chick who
went
was probably...
across the street when he was done with me.
Some girl was probably 6 feet tall, was trick-or-treating with no costume.
What? No costume?
By herself.
Did you question her? Like Larry David did?
No, I just gave her a candy bar. She didn't say trick or treat. She didn't say thank you, nothing. She just held the bag out. I put a candy bar in, and she left. Her friend was waiting for her.
Wow.
And actually, you know what? Most kids did not say trick or treat. They just banged on the door.
I made them say it.
I should have done that.
I'm goofing around. I had a costume on, so. I had a kid make fun of my costume.
Were you to count?
Like a little 9-year-old made fun of my costume. And I pointed at Charlotte. I go, that's my daughter. That's why I'm a Care Bear. Getting in a fight with a kid on my porch.
I hate to even mention it because it seems so petty, but I just thought kids were really impolite.
Really?
I've never really noticed that in recent years, but it just seemed like no one said trick or treat. No one said thank you. No one said anything. It was like they just came to the door. They wanted the candy and they left. And a lot of kids grabbed a bowl. They're grabbing.
Really?
Yeah. Kids are fucking grabbing in the bowl.
Where was their mother?
Well, some of them had parents who were telling them to say thank you. And actually a couple kids said thank you when their parents prompted them.
Yeah.
But other than that, and then get this, there were kids who were probably 7 or 8 years old who didn't even have a costume.
Oh, really?
How old is this kid?
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. Could they not afford one?
I don't know.
Anybody can put a sheet.
A
ghost.
You can have a
Charlie Brown
expensive costume.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt sorry for him. Actually, I felt
mom
bad.
Some
it's like,
makeup,
why?
Go
what?
As an adult.
And I'm not
go
blaming.
Go home to mommy.
I'm not blaming these kids. Obviously, their parents.
Oh no, they've got to
don't
have
care
a
if they thank anybody for their candy or say trick or treat or whatever the hell or have a costume or don't have a costume. I just was surprised.
Oh, that's a
that anybody would
that's
send a 7-year old out without a costume.
That's a bummer. I think it's bullshit. People didn't say thank you or trick or treat.
Well, you know they don't have to thank you. I mean, trick or treat something, some interaction.
They do have to say thank you.
They should.
They're getting something for free.
Brought up right, you say.
Yeah, you know what?
Trick or treat, and thank you very much. They compliment their house. My kids compliment the decorations and all of that. I'm not saying you have to do that, but
that sounds
do.
Phony, then.
But that's what they do. Like little Eddie Haskell's.
I tweeted I tweeted about it last night, and somebody said, did you always say thank you when you trick-or-treated?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It's defending bratty kids. And I said, yeah, I think I did. And I thought about it, and I realized something. I knew most of the people whose houses I went to.
Yeah,
right.
They were my neighbors, and I had a paper route, so I knew a lot of people around me. But it wasn't like this completely unfamiliar thing. These kids, I'd never seen any of them anywhere, which I don't expect to see a ton of kids.
What paper
were
you delivering?
A Chicago Tribune, Sun-Times?
Nice.
Is that important?
I just wanted to know.
Was it a worthwhile interruption?
I was a big newspaper fan. I just wanted to know what you said.
Castro, which led to...
Hey, Castro!
Yeah. Hey, Castro, give me 20. Mark reminded me that we have Donato the Fisherman's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that found Elian Gonzalez.
Would have been about, what?
Rescued him.
Would have been 21, 22 years ago. It was around Thanksgiving.
95, 96?
Yeah.
That's 95, right.
95, so probably 22 years.
Should we just go ahead and call?
Yeah.
Donato? Why not?
And see if he has any...
Spend less time on Castro.
Have him eulogize for Castro. Think he'll say anything nice about him?
Oh, I don't know. It's funny when you put people in the position of giving eulogy, they tend to get real serious real fast.
To that point, you know, there's all these celebrations in Little Havana down in Miami. And a couple of interviews I saw, the people were like, well, I'm not celebrating the death of a person, but...
No, it's the end of...
It's like, yeah, you're celebrating his death, which is fine because he killed plenty of people.
No, he celebrated killing people.
Yeah, he's a brutal dick.
Killed his opposition.
Hello? Donato?
Donato!
Hello?
Hey. Donato! Yeah. It is! Donato the Fisherman!
TM.
Donato?
Hey, may I help you?
Yeah, it's Drew and Mark calling. Remember we called you on our radio show in Detroit a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was the Ellen anniversary, and we had a nice conversation.
You had a great time.
Don't tell me I'm live on the air.
Of course you are.
Oh, okay.
I knew you'd roll with it. I said, Donato's cool. He'll be happy to hear from us.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not convinced that he's happy.
Are you not happy?
Oh,
Donato?
I am.
Oh, you are. I knew you would be.
I was laying down with my daughter, so.
Oh, man.
Well, we apologize
she
for that.
She has school tomorrow. I have a six-year-old, so you know how that goes.
Oh, well, you know how six-year-olds go. I mean, you have plenty of experience raising a six-year-old. From Elian.
Oh, ironic. Elian was about six when that whole thing went down.
How old was Elian?
Yeah, at that time he was six.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Have you used anything from your Elian experiences in raising your daughter?
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. I mean, listen, you know, I was fishing when I met him.
That's right.
But as you told us, you're not really a fisherman, even though we called you Donato the Fisherman.
TM.
Right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, but that's so funny that that name stuck. Did you tell many people that you weren't really a fisherman back then, or did you just figure I won't correct them?
Yeah. I after a while, I just, you know, stopped talking about it because, I mean, listen, you weren't going to change the idea that, you know, that's what they heard from the media.
Yeah, the damn media. Terrible.
Instead, you should embrace it. Well, obviously, we're calling because, you know, you can't turn on the TV without seeing your picture again.
Yes, I had the local channel news here tonight. I was surprised, you know what I mean, that really, in my estimation, you know, one thing has nothing to do with the other. But, you know, they tie Elian Gonzalez, you know, the story to Fidel Castro. So,
well, it's one of the biggest stories involving the U.S. and Cuba in recent years. And, yeah, I would have turned on the TV, too, if I thought that something like that would come up. I hope you were recording it. Do you save some of the materials back from the Elian days?
No, at all.
No, you're such a humble guy.
Well, I mean, you know, I get calls all the time from, like, different friends of mine, like, when the election was coming up, you know, especially, you know, Hillary Clinton was saying something, you know, to the nature of she would never come out and take out, you know, somebody in the middle of the night and toss them back in their country. And then people are saying, oh, yeah, well, your husband did. You know? And then there goes my picture on the internet, you know. So,
well,
I guess I'll be tied to that picture forever.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, you will not live that down. But really, you were a very sympathetic character in that whole thing. A lot of people really respected what you did. So it was all good, I thought, in terms of your reputation.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but, you know, I don't know how it was, like, you know, there in Detroit, but, you know, down here in Florida, it became really political, almost like a real Democrat-Republican type of atmosphere where, you know, if somebody believed in what you were doing, it was good. But if you didn't, I mean, it was bad.
But I thought in Florida you were very much, I mean, weren't people very much in favor of you holding on to Elian down there?
I really don't know. You know, something which is really strange is, you know, when you're on television or you're out there in the fight or the thick of it, so to speak, you really don't know what other people are really thinking.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Although, you know, certainly is a lot available on the media and all the news and the news channels. But I'll tell you what, with the death of Castro, we were just talking about it, and people were emailing, reminding us, hey, you guys know that Donato the Fisherman guy, and he was a great guest when you had him on last time. You should call him about Castro and see if he can help you eulogize Castro. Maybe give us a little sketch of your feelings about Castro since he did just pass away.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Fidel Castro, man, he was a bad dude. I mean, there ain't no doubt. I mean, I talked to, you know, hundreds of people on the streets in those 6 or 7 months when Elian was here, and you heard story after story, especially grown men just crying and telling their story of how they were thrown into political prison, spent 20 years there because they believed in democracy. So, I mean, this guy, he was a really bad guy, and he did a lot of bad things to a lot of good people.
Not to mention taking their money and their property.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, of course, the money, the property. I mean, yeah, but, you know, but even like, the jail time, which a lot of Americans, they don't bite. Ah, come on, he wouldn't do. I mean, yeah, he was a real dictator, that guy.
Do you imagine if you'd been in Cuba at that time or had if he had the ability to, don't you think he would have hauled you right in there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was saying things that we were kidnapping Elian at the time, holding him hostage. That's one of the reasons I felt like I wouldn't be welcome down there now, because when I was, you know, caught on camera holding Elian, so to speak, right, is that he thought that I was holding the child, you know what I mean? Like,
against his will?
Yes. Yeah, you know, and it was like a hostage situation, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they were called the Miami Mafia. You know, things of that nature, which I thought, you know, to be really funny. I mean, the mentality of this guy was crazy.
Do you have interest in going to Cuba? I mean, certainly things will have changed dramatically with the death of Castro. And it's hard to say how soon or, you know, how dramatically, but would you want to go down there?
Oh, absolutely. About a year ago, a little more than a year, about a year and a half ago, I was called by ABC News. They did an interview. I don't know if you've seen that on the air.
No.
Yeah, no, I saw
it. First exclusive interview, yes. And
besides
they had come
exclusive
to me.
Besides ours, though, right? Because we had an interview.
Yeah, this was the one down. I'm sure this is the one that was down there in Havana. And
oh, I see.
They were talking to him, and they asked if they remembered me.
Yeah.
And things of that nature. And he said yes. And his father also and said that he was, they called me Donatello. And said that I was welcome to come down there. But you see, them saying that I was welcome to come there is one thing. But, you know, actually the people in the government saying that I'm welcome to come there, I think that would be another story.
Would you want...
I have pursued it.
Well, now that Castro's dead, I mean, maybe you can meet up with Elian. Did you see him on TV?
Elian, no, I didn't. Not this time around, I haven't.
He's like really big now, which kind of surprised me.
Oh, yeah.
I expect him to stay six forever.
Yeah. Well, I was pretty surprised also. I mean, he's a nice guy, a little bit of a macho guy. When I watched him, he got down and was doing push-ups for the camera. I thought, man, this guy's really something else.
See,
he's ripped.
That's all of Castro's influence on him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Probably trying to turn him into a big power-hitting baseball player.
What about Maris Slasis? Have you talked to the Gonzalez family?
No, not at all. I mean, I haven't really. I know a lot of people made jokes and stuff back in those days.
What?
You know,
what? Are you serious about
yeah, Maris Slasis? Yeah, it was
about
always
child custody.
That's ridiculous.
That I was tied. You know, like, hey, were you? You know, with the cousin, all that stuff. I haven't seen her since. Actually, that day that happened, I haven't seen her, and that's been, 16 years already.
You haven't seen her in all that time?
No.
She's got a hair design. She's got a hair design place. Maris Slasis' Hair Designs, I think it's called, on 8th Street.
I know she has a place down there in Miami. It's just that, you know, the language was a big barrier for us. I mean,
what?
You know, I'm the American. They were the Hispanics, and nobody was speaking English. Now, she was bilingual, but, I mean, the family wasn't, so.
Barely.
You know. Yeah.
Well, I just remember that, I mean, she was so close to Elian. I recall her saying something to the effect that if he woke up and she was not there, that he would cry.
Yeah, immediately.
Well, yeah, because you got to remember that, you know, he watched this, on a more serious note, this kid watched his mom die at sea, and then, you know, a lot of people lost sight of that. And then all of a sudden, you know, she was in his life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then when he was taken, you know what I mean? Of course, that was the closest thing to his mom was her for those few months that, you know, they were together.
I don't think we've ever talked to you about the actual raid when you were holding Elian and they came in and had the guns, because it sounded like those agents really tore up that house. Did they break things? Did they tear up that house bad?
They broke Elian's bed.
They did?
Didn't they break Elian's bed?
I want to see if he'd say it.
Well, you know, I don't really know. You know, this was a big dispute that went on. I don't know exactly what was busted, what wasn't busted, you know, but...
The bed was broken.
Yeah, I know that, you know, 150 federal armed agents, you know, seized that whole area, came into that home, and, you know, they were on a mission, you know, to find that child.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that when they were coming through and, you know, they were opening doors and they were thrusting and going through the house, that, you know, things got, you know, manhandled, you know what I mean? So I don't know exactly myself to this day, you know, what was broken, what wasn't. All I know is I was on the other end of that gun.
Yeah, it was a powerful picture. And I heard, by the way, I don't think they reimbursed her for the broken bed or for any of that stuff.
Not at all.
It's terrible. But I'll tell you what, we were going to try and call the hair design place and see if we could. It's probably a little late. Sunday night, yeah. Maybe we'll have to call tomorrow. But I tell you, that was a powerful eulogy you gave for Castro. I appreciate it. It was also right on the money, honest, no holding back. Is there anything else you want to add about Castro before we let you go, Donato?
No, not really. I'm just glad that he's gone.
Yeah.
No,
you know, especially for the people of Miami. You know, a lot of people just wonder, you know, what their story. Hey, their story is, man, he ran them out of town. You know what I mean? That's basically the bottom line. A lot of people, that's why they call them the exiles here. I'm sure that if a lot of them had their choices, not to say that America isn't great, you know, they would have stayed in their own country. But, you know, this is a guy that, you know, ran them out in the middle of the night.
A great message for the people of Miami. Do you have a message for the people of Cuba?
For the people of Cuba,
we have people in Cuba who listen to the podcast. By the way,
they get them on those little flash drives. I've seen the stories, and then they download.
Yeah, well, you know what the sad part is for some people there in Cuba, I understand that, you know, they've been kind of carried away with a lot of people are pro Castro.
Yeah,
in Cuba, but for the ones that weren't, man, I'm just I'm happy that you guys are closer to freedom.
Donato the Fisherman.
Great, great message.
Donato, thanks so much for the powerful thoughts and the eulogy. And hopefully we'll have some reason to call back again.
Thank you for the time.
All right. Take care. Have a good evening, guys. Right,
thanks brother. So much, Donato.
All right. All right. Bye.
Donato the Fisherman.
Bye-bye.
He's a good dude.
He's a really nice guy.
And it was actually the appropriate eulogy.
It was. No, he was right on.
Although I wish he would have had a better message for the people of Cuba.
That's true. That was not the message was not as powerful as the eulogy.
Here's a fun fact about Castro. You ready?
Yeah.
He only had one cow, and that's where he got all his dairy needs from.
What?
He was so worried about being poisoned. So all his milk,
oh, come on.
Yogurt, ice cream came from one cow. Each of his kids had their own cow as well.
What? Really? Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
That's pretty wild. That's a fun fact.
He had his own ice cream factory for those cows.
His own ice cream factory? How cool would that be to have your own ice cream factory?
He had his own giant Havana estate with rooftop bowling, personal hospital, indoor basketball court.
Nice taking...
Nice man of the people.
Yeah, nice taking everything from every rich person in Cuba and then becoming one yourself, bastard.
He had food flown in from, you know, friendly countries, too, because he was worried about being poisoned. But still,
that's so fake. He just wanted good food. What a bullshitter.
Let's see if he had 9 children by 4 women. Wow. Lovers range from the Italian actress Gina Lolo Brigida.
Well, Lola Brigida?
Yeah.
No Lola way.
Brigida? Gina?
Gina? Yeah. Gina. It's Gina.
Gina Lolo Brigida? I've never heard of her. She's pretty hot, though.
Yeah, she was hot in her day. That was a long time ago.
To an underage nightclub dancer who reported how he smoked continually during sex.
What? What a cocksucker. Smoked during sex.
Of course he's a cocksucker, man. He's a dictator.
the fuck? Smoking during sex?
His notorious affairs earned him the nickname The Horse.
Oh, please.
That's more state-run media to bring everything he's hung.
The Horse.
You refer to me as The Horse. He had a taste for the young Cuban women of every color and background and half jokingly told a journalist that it was his colossal sex drive that had led him away from the Roman Catholic Church.
His colossal sex drive?
Yeah. He kept his army boots on during sex as well.
Oh, in case he had to run out and battle?
Yeah, so he was smoking.
Yeah, he was in so many battles.
Yeah, you know.
Fake! Listen to this story, though. This is about someone, because you know, we've talked about this many times. Who wants to go to a parade when it's 40 degrees on a day off, when a lot of these people are going to be cooking for hours?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's football to watch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do. Plus, you know, Wednesday night's a big bar night, a big party night. It's like a Friday night, and to think that people get up so early. You have to go early if you want to get a place.
I think those are two different demographics.
Yeah, this is a demographic that would never cross paths with
us. The Wednesday bar night and the Thursday morning parade people, very different demographic.
Some people, of course, just have kids, and they feel they're guilted into, well, my kid has to experience everything that all his classmates are.
Ugh.
Even though this is a sappy thing that he'll probably grow out of and regret as an adult.
And they'll complain really the whole time they're going down there. It's too cold. When are we leaving?
Something, you know, I guess it's probably just the adults faking them out that something really incredible is coming, when actually it's just a few. I mean, how many really incredible Santa. Floats are there? In the-
Santa.
Okay, yes, Santa. You can always suck kids in with Santa. But listen to this story.
Suck kids in with Santa.
Yeah, Santa's going to fuck you over on Christmas if you don't go to this parade.
I can't wait to use that.
Pretend to have fun.
That's going to be the best.
Bundled up with a soft blanket and a camping chair on the sidewalk, Betty, I'm not going to use her last name. I don't know why. To protect her, I guess. Betty became a magnet for attention as America's Thanksgiving Day parade passed by. The parade and I are the same age, said Betty Evinkster, who celebrates her 90th birthday Monday and was born in 1926, the same year the parade started. Her family held up a sign letting people know, and many people, including one of the parade stars, stopped to greet her at Woodward near Temple.
Who's one of the parade stars?
Well, we're going to find that out.
Oh!
We're going to find out what they view as one of the parade stars.
I'm really excited.
Betty made a wish on her 79th birthday that she could spend the 80th at the parade, which she'd seen on TV but never attended despite growing up nearby. The family made it happen, and a tradition was born.
Oh, no.
How'd you like to be that member of the family that just thinks this is the biggest bore? And this tradition is born now, and there's no stopping Betty.
At least there's somebody in the family that's lobbying. I think this might be the year Grandma shouldn't go to the parade.
Yeah, it's too cold. It'll kill Grandma.
We don't want
her to die of pneumonia.
We don't want Grandma to get sick.
Wait. Oh, my God. This is her only present she wants, with all of her kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. So they all have to go. They're all stuck.
No.
Because Grandma wants everyone out there.
No, Grandma. Bye, Grandma. Don't you go dying on me now.
Patty, her daughter, said, it's the biggest birthday party she would ever have, or she could ever have.
Oh, wait. Is this her way of getting out of the birthday party?
No, I guess everyone at the parade now thinks it's Betty's birthday party. So it's two things. It's actually the parade and Betty's birthday party.
Betty might think it's the birthday party for her, too.
Well, she may. She's 90 now, so they've been doing this for like 10 years. Clowns threw beads.
Look at her!
Clowns threw beads to Betty, and she put them on.
And she popped her top.
Go, Grand Marshal. No, Betty
well,
doesn't do things like
beads.
That.
How do you get your beads?
No, Betty's, come on, Betty's 90 now.
Stop it.
Co-Grand Marshal Keegan-Michael Key, the comedian who grew up in Metro Detroit, leaped out of a Ford Mustang convertible, came to the sidewalk, and posed for a picture with Betty.
Betty is a huge Key and Peele fan.
She's a big hit.
She loves their
sketches. And he's a fan of hers. So many people wanted to come and just take their picture with me. I felt like a celebrity.
Oh, boy.
Betty said.
Betty.
Three women who had seen her at the parade in previous years thought, wait, no, this didn't happen. This could not have happened. Three women who had seen Betty at the parade in previous years brought her a birthday card? Are you serious?
What?
Really?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
They brought her a birthday card? Are you kidding?
I already knew there were better people than me out in the world. Now I know there's three more.
That's incredible.
That takes unbelievable planning. I hope they bought that birthday card after last year's like Thanksgiving and then kept it. I don't know. I don't know how you would remember to do something.
Can you imagine just buying into all this?
Stranger?
It's the greatest event. It's the biggest event of the year for her. It's the only thing she wants.
No.
And, oh, boy. These are outsiders buying in.
I'd like to have. Well, never mind. Go ahead.
Oh, this gets incredible. This gets okay. I brought her a birthday card. Betty also got autographs from Key and a Detroit police chaplain. Why would you want a police chaplain's autograph?
What do they sign?
Why would a chaplain be signing something? Doesn't that seem weird?
A little odd.
The police. The police.
Really weird.
The police chief always waved and said, "I'll see you next year." Betty said.
Oh, nice going, chief. You can't go over and sign something for her? You got to send the chaplain to do it?
And now the whole family's stuck going back next year, too, because she's got to see the police chief. Asked how she likes the parade, she clapped her white gloves and said, "Beautiful, beautiful. I've seen my four great-granddaughters in the parade, and I've got a great-grandson that's six today." She said, having just seen the great-grands march by with the marching band. Connor, the great-grandson who turned six, said he likes giving high fives as the parade passes by. About 16 of the relatives were at the parade. They came from all over. Some as far away as Traverse City.
Oh, boy.
Came from Traverse City for the parade. On the week of her 79th birthday, Betty had been watching on Channel 4 reporters interviewing parade watchers at the RVs and said that is what she wanted to do the next year. She'd never been to the parade. She was always at home cooking for us kids. That's why she was determined for her 80th. She wanted to go to the parade. It began a 10-year tradition that only included one missed year because health problems kept her at home.
Ooh. Well, that's a bummer.
Relief.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sure someone in the family was all there. When she was okay.
She had a stroke in September. She's been living with her as she recovers and unless raising good spirits. She had a stroke. She's not gone this year. The family could have easily gotten out of it this year.
Well, maybe the family just likes going.
I guess they do. They must dig it. Family members arrived in the RV at... Oh, God, they're in the RV. Arrived in the RV at 4 p.m. Wednesday.
What?
To find the lot along Woodward and her temple was already nearly full.
And what?
Raining most of the day, and they found a spot that by Thursday morning had a big puddle underneath.
Wait, so
no!
People are getting there how many hours?
Wednesday at 4 in the afternoon.
So
Wednesday at 4 in the afternoon.
17 hours before it starts?
Yes. To get their
what?
Spot.
That's insane!
That's... Can you believe the work in love for a fucking parade?
Oh, boy. Just not, you know... Well,
this is not the Rose Bowl parade. Sorry. It's not. I mean, if you really want to see a parade.
Betty's got her tradition, man.
I know. No, there's no stopping Betty now. Been raining most of the day. They found a spot that by Thursday morning had a big puddle underneath. We kind of dealt with the mud, she said. Next year could be tricky as she and the RVs will no longer be allowed in the area because of developments there. Whoa. But the family intends to keep tradition going. Oh. Meanwhile, she said her husband always stays home and cooks a traditional Thanksgiving meal with plenty of turkey, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, and more. He gets out of it. How does he get out of it? That's bullshit.
That's the man right there.
Grandpa.
Way to go, Grandpa. Grandpa knows what's up. He orders all that shit out.
Somebody must be just virtually ready to come to fisticuffs with Grandpa trying to cook to get out of
it. I guarantee you at 4:05 he's calling someplace. You got my goddamn turkey ready? All right, I want it here tomorrow at 10 a.m.
If you see another car around here, come back an hour later.
Make sure you call before you come over. All right. I guarantee you, Grandpa's best night of the year is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We use the house. Oh, well, it's my goddamn self.
Yep, no kids.
The family takes over.
After the parade, relatives pack up the RV and headed for the feast. Noons and the Detroit Lions win would be frosting on the cake for Betty. The Lions came through for her, beating the Vikings 16-13 for Betty.
Oh, well, Betty's happy.
I cannot believe the fucking work that goes into being at the parade.
No.
For a family that size. Just because Betty opened her mouth on her 70th birthday once. This inane tradition is born. And must continue till the end of time, for crying out loud. Because when Betty dies, you're going to have to go to a memorial to Betty.
Oh, man. I'm sure they never thought it'd be a 10-year tradition when they said, okay, you can go for your 80th birthday. They never thought it would go on 10 years.
And I bet you they keep pretty apprised of any health issues as it gets close. And kids maybe shouldn't go out. They're watching the weather 3 weeks ahead of time.
Well, it's pretty cold, though.
For 30-degree weather and snow.
Grandma, you really want to go to the parade this year? It's going to be really cold. It's going to be really wet.
Grandma, you're going to be freezing. There's a giant puddle under the RV.
They've tried every trick in the book. They've pretended the RV doesn't work. I can't get the RV started, Grandma. It's no parade this year.
Yeah, and last year, what? I was going to suggest a band of roving rapists or something.
No. Anything to keep Betty at bay.
Anything to keep Betty at home in the warm weather. Yeah, in the warmth of her home.
Worried about her.
I think we got Grandpa's number.
Oh.
Wait, Betty's husband?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, boy.
Find out what his secret is.
His secret is, he says, I'm 89 years old. I ain't doing anything I don't want to do because I'm 89 years old. Good for him.
Wait, so Grandpa and Betty's place?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Tomorrow. Tough one.
Well, save it for next Thanksgiving. We'll call her.
Yeah, let's. We don't want to start a tradition we don't want to keep up.
360 days, we'll call her.
Dish Nation basically is so cheap to make that they can do very low shares and make pretty good money off it.
It's a kind of genius in that way.
Comfortable?
Exactly.
On his last album, he has a song called Stay, which, you know, like borrows like, some
Ricky
creative
liberty.
Like six people on microphones.
So he dedicated the song Stay to his daughter. So when you just hear the opening riffs and the melodies of Let's Get It On, you think it's going someplace freaky.
Well, of course you do. Because that song is way too iconic.
Exactly.
It's so iconic. But you know what? He knows better than to do that. I think anything he does right now is just
wrong.
About? They're going to make everything they're going to look at him with a mic under a microscope.
There's so much diversity.
And it's just sad because we know he didn't mean any harm. So,
well, we don't know nothing.
Yes, we do, Gary. Don't do that.
But Brett, if you were going to do something, don't you have
this
somebody?
This is Frank and Heidi. These are two shows talking to each other. Frank and Heidi talking to Ricky Smiley.
That coin. Maybe you don't want to do that tune.
Nobody can tell me what punchline to do when I'm on stage.
Right. Watch.
It just comes.
Right. When I think about you, I touch myself. I don't want
but he hugs
any
himself.
Other
it's a
kid.
Frank!
I'm just saying.
Oh, Frank.
You got to be able to tell no to something. Be able to hear the word no. Says, no, don't do that. Pick another song for your little girl.
From a place of observation, guys, I can really tell you that no to Tyrese means on.
Told ya.
Tyrese.
Wow.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a show idea.
Yeah.
I just think that we need to have a beat underneath our program the entire time.
Oh, that's, there you go.
We just talk. Anything.
But you got to talk really fast.
Yeah. So we'll just do the entire show underneath with this beat just going underneath us.
Make people more energized. They might do errands, clean up the house.
You know, it's funny. Frank and Heidi, that's a massively big show in L.A.
Well, aren't those people someone from Kid Craddock's show?
Some of them are. They're Atlanta, Ricky Smiley. But KLOS is the old Mark and Brian station.
Right.
Which was a massive show.
Okay, Kid Craddock
late
died.
Late 80s, early 90s. 4 years ago.
But the Kid Craddock show is still on.
Yeah. That's always my example about the show. About the name. I like the name. It's the brand. Bob
True.
And Tom. Tom's been gone. Craddock's been
yeah.
dead.
Yeah, there's a number of that. There's a number of examples. Yes. But that wasn't the intent. Mike was actually on the show when we started it back up.
Yeah, their intent is not to bring Kid back from the dead.
No, they know that's not going to happen, I think. Oh, somebody just had a punchline, by the way.
Okay.
Where are there farts in this rap beat?
Yeah, Brandon.
Live with Andy Cohen.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, geez,
I did not do a thing. Why is it jumping around? Look at it. I'm not even touching it.
I never have these problems, by the way. Oh, they're resolving issues that just came up. I mean, you're going to pick every show with technical issues, it's going to happen. Oh, wait, here we go.
Well, every recorded show has.
Dish Nation's back.
Cyrus is extremely damaged, and it's Hannah Montana's fault.
I think what was hard for me was definitely balancing everything. I think it got harder when I started touring as both. I toured as Hannah Montana and as myself.
How did you sort that out?
That's a woman, by the way.
I think that's probably what's a little bit wrong with me now. I mark that up to doing some extreme damage in my psyche as an adult person.
It sucks when your disguise is famous, too.
Right.
That's why they say she went a little crazy, like because she had to be a kid for so long with Disney that she was sort of pent up.
Like Jackson, like Michael Jackson. She never had a childhood.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus never had a childhood.
So she should be running around 12 year olds.
All the craziness happened.
I'm treated like a wrecking
ball. Well, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle might be engaging
why was that funny?
In incest.
I guess it's good impersonation.
Surprise!
follow me here. Well, you have to follow me on this one, okay? Apparently, one of Megan's ancestors on her dad's side, Englishman Ralph Bowes, lived between 1480 and 1518 in northeast England. Okay. Many generations later, Lady Elizabeth Bowes Lyon was born, married King
Charles,
eventually gave birth to Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, a whole dream.
Cousins.
Oh. Weaver.
Who gives a fuck? A yeah.
Why don't they just put Propecia on Dish Nation? Let's see how she fits.
Huge laughs.
If you went through the old genealogical investigation, you found out the person you were getting engaged to or going to marry was a cousin. Would you continue or would you stop?
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Because you have to defend that relationship every day of your life.
No. Because that's like down, way far down the line. If we ain't cousins.
I tell you what, bitch, come join me. We get a crack rock, get a fifth of love. And we can smoke all goddamn night and feel better by daybreak, but we're gonna be some broke bitches.
She fits in perfectly.
And for many celebrities, the festivities have already begun. After the break, we'll show you the best costumes of the weekend.
You sound like a goddamn pussy to me. I've had enough Dish Nation for the rest of my life.
She fits in perfectly.
Isn't it the worst? Watch your smelly ass and balls, you nappy motherfucker, you. Is that the worst?
It's so bad. I'm shocked that you have it on your...
You can't have nine people on microphones. I mean, they must take turns, I assume, and then there's the person with the punchline is last.
No.
Doesn't it seem like I was...
Blaine and Allison used to be on.
They are on. They're still on.
Oh, Blaine is?
I think they're... Blaine and somebody else.
Okay, yeah, because he blew Allison out, remember?
Yeah.
Blown out!
And then yelled at Jay Towers picked her up.
He did?
Yeah.
I knew she was back.
Well, they made a big to-do on Channel 2 the morning she was...
I'm going to speculate that he fired her or got her blown out because she's friends with Maz, and he yelled at Maz that one time. Remember when he yelled at Maz?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Which was entirely Tom's fault.
Well, he walked in his live studio, which is not cool.
I would not have yelled at him.
If we were doing the show at Riff,
crap.
And can you imagine Maz walking in and none of us know who he is? I mean, that would be really weird.
Yes, but we would everyone not, be like, we were not
who is
down,
that
though.
Guy?
Yeah.
No, he would not be yelled at. And there's no one.
Janice, get up off your fat ass and lose some of that goddamn weight.
That's what she would say.
But there would be, questions would be asked. Who's this guy that walked in our show today?
I'm just a chubby chaser.
But the way the story goes, according to Tom, is then he went and saw his friend who was producing that show, which... Once again, he's working.
In the other studio,
yeah. And then Blaine came in and yelled at Tom and dressed him down.
During the commercial break. Not a good use of show time, in my opinion.
No one gives a shit.
Sorry, Blaine.
But it was Tom's fault. I just think the reaction was way over the top.
You would think he'd be focused on your show, and you wouldn't have time for that.
Yeah.
If he was around, you'd yell at him after the show.
Yeah.
But they play music, don't they?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
He walked in with the light on. It's not like he doesn't work at a radio station.
I know.
God bless him. He's just the best. Love him.
He's one of a kind.
He is one of a kind.
I'm trying to think. So there was somebody I was about to compare to Maz. Oh, yeah. I guess it was Jim Harbaugh because he has the 200 Judge Judy shows.
Mm-hmm.
Harbs and Maz do have something in common.
Well, our old crosstalks were like Dish Nation when you had nine guys on the microphone.
Oh, I know. And they wanted them to go on for 15 minutes. That was the dumbest programming.
Until they didn't want them to go on for 15
minutes. I truly
am
stunned at how bad the programming was at that station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so stunned. Actually, Jason Dixon seems like a good program director next to his predecessor,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least he would, you know.
It was amazing how every idea was lauded. Like, oh my God, it's working.
Yeah, of course.
But yet the morning show is 21st and midday about 17th and, you know.
I was just talking to somebody recently who once again brought up that station and they're like, I don't know what they were thinking over there. Yeah, it's a story I've heard for a year and a half now.
I know, it's just anyone that wants to start a conversation about it, I just almost have to leave. I almost have to leave the room.
I usually just say,
who gives a fuck?
I
tell you what, bitch, come join me. We get a crack rock, get a fifth of liquor, and we can smoke all goddamn night and feel better by daybreak. But we're gonna be some broke bitches.
Is there anyone get an interview with her?
No, I don't know where. Who knows where Propecia is?
Her or and I will spank my butt.
Nikita Denise, we could probably get an interview.
Why don't we try?
Great. Great.
I'd love to talk to her.
Well, just okay. Tweet her.
You spank my butthole a little bit.
Follow her.
A little bit.
Just start retweeting her like crazy, and then she'll...
Spank my ass anytime, baby. Go ahead.
She's on Twitter for sure?
You follow her.
Oh, I do?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed her.
Fake.
No, I really haven't.
You've been DMing her like crazy.
Great. That's
just reply to all her tweets.
I don't know why.
G-R-E-A-T-K. Great.
There's only one follower I know. It's Mark.
Oh, sweet.
So you follow her.
Fuck yeah, I do.
Drew doesn't.
What?
No.
I feel that she's too big to direct message. Because her drops have been played so much on our show, I feel like she's largesse that's almost too big for me to direct message.
She only has 26,000 followers.
Look at
her
what
last
she posts.
Tweet. Her last tweet was only retweeted once and has one comment. So you start commenting grit on all her tweets, she's gonna know who you are.
She got a big.
text straight pics.
Imagine Layla have 26 likes, 4 retweets, and 28 comments already from 3 hours ago.
Look at this picture of her that she.
Why does she have three times the followers I have?
Because she posts pictures of this, 4 fingers in her own butthole.
Do you want to hear the replies to that tweet?
Yeah, boy.
Gangsta Nuts wrote to her off that picture.
Gangsta Nuts.
When you did anal, was it for the money or personal enjoyment?
And she said.
Great. No, she didn't reply. Then the next guy responded, my, and then heart emoji. That's Jack. And then Francis Hooper just wrote, beautiful lady with a winky face.
You know, how creepy sucking up to a porn star's Twitter.
Come on, baby.
But I'm telling you, you do that.
Oh, and then, absolutely. Guys are so pathetic.
She liked all those tweets to her. I'm telling you, you start replying to all her tweets, then you can DM her, and next thing you know, she's in studio.
Oh, Lordy. I don't know if I want her in studio.
You want it anyway.
Is this one of her scenes, Brandon?
Yeah.
On her Twitter?
Yeah, on her Twitter.
Oh, she retweeted this. Someone else put it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She retweeted it.
That's not her, is it?
Yeah, that's her.
That's her?
Uh-huh.
I don't even want to see her banging. I just want to see her talking.
Why is she wearing a top? Oh, God, hearing porn stars talk is just horrifying.
Fuck.
Okay, so Dale DeBone, who is a porn star, I presume the one in the scene wrote.
His real name?
Yeah.
Hey, was that Nikita Denise up there?
Yeah.
That's who you're watching. That's
well,
Twitter.
But she had her top on. I hadn't seen her like that.
Oh, I got a fun fact about Dale DeBone.
Yeah?
I stole a porno from the old studio when I was an intern.
Was it Dale DeBone?
It was Dale DeBone as Batman.
He stole a porno from us?
Well, I think it was more or less just given to me. You guys had that whole drawer you guys had was filled with all those fake ones. Like, this isn't Batman.
Yeah, we used to get a ton of those.
Oh, right.
Batman Triple X.
I borrowed it.
One of my good friends when I first got in the biz. She's always very professional and nice to me. That's what DeBone wrote. And she wrote back to him, oh, my love, ditto.
Wow.
Who replies to these people?
I know.
Then the guy at the bottom, what? No condom.
And Robin.
Oh, what's the guy really upset?
Robin was played by the guy that nailed Farrah Abraham.
What? Oh, what's his name?
Oh, we never talked about Farrah Abraham.
We got blown out!
Blown out of Teen Mom! and is she pissed? And people on her Instagram page are just giving it to her, which I love.
Hilarious. Okay, so she posted the
First of all, how much is this going to hurt her to be off Teen Mom?
None.
Well, if she's doing porn, if she's a full-time porn star. No, you're right. It won't matter.
Yeah. Oh, she has a new one, too.
A new porn? Okay.
No, she did. She was supposed to do anal on Halloween, which was last night.
Did she?
Yeah. Nice taking your kid out to trick or treat. Instead of doing that, you're going to go do anal for some website.
Maybe she did both. Maybe she's a time manager. I'm actually going to Google Farrah Abraham anal.
Let's see. She
Halloween anal.
She posted this before.
Hey, loves, thanks so much for supporting my mission tonight on Cam Soda. I do greatly apologize for Scott and Molly over compromising themselves for Cam Soda. Things freezing, all this stuff. And there wasn't an anal show. We were giving away anal toys and fun lingerie. So I'm super supportive to all the sponsors. Again, I can't see the biggest tippers, but Molly and Scott can. So if they can see it, then they can let me know who wins. And I do apologize for them over-compromising themselves. And
truthfully,
she didn't do the anal.
Why?
She didn't.
And being awesome
girl
bosses for the right reasons.
False advertising.
So thank you to all the VIPs, all the amazing people, and the real professionals. Rather than over-compromising And that's not how I do it. So,
well, you did compromise
awesome.
Yourself. You
so
said you
much.
Do anal and you didn't.
Amazingly.
Yeah. Liar.
And I
can
look
you call
forward
a furniture store?
To always being behind my mission and not being taken off guard. Bye, guys. Have a good night.
Is Pharaoh?
Hey, loves. Thanks so much.
One comment, ready?
Yeah.
What the fuck does overcompromising three times mean? That's one comment below it.
That's a good comment.
Bye-bye, puta. Open your legs. You better than screaming mother. Have no respect for anything in life. I love it when they can't even spell their insults. Let's see. Who lied in press? You're all over TMZ talking to the photographer about it and inviting him to come watch. Good luck with a court case. Are there going to be class action against Pharaoh?
Yes.
Are you going to join
I'm
it?
I'm joining. I am. I want to be part of it. Tell me how and I'm in.
All that money and no brains. Google the word compromise.
Pharaoh Abraham didn't go through with the anal she'd promised to do during her live Cam Soda porn show Monday night. Now the porn site is reimbursing everyone who watched.
Oh, there you go.
It's unclear why Pharaoh bailed on the back door. Instead, she didn't take off her lingerie, promoted her sex toy line, and talked about her displeasure with MTV. She says fired her early in the day. Can we get any audio from that? Either way, Cam Soda wasn't happy and tells TMZ they were forced to go through with reimbursement since Pharaoh's porn show created unfulfilled expectations. Absolutely. Company also took a shot at MTV, saying it was reprehensible she would lose her job because of a webcam performance. Pharaoh blasted him. Oh, so she's trying to win the suit by not doing it?
Yeah.
Good luck, bitch. Pharaoh blasted MTV, saying it lost its biggest talent because of womanizing, sex shaming, hate crime, selfish Weinstein company power trip behavior.
That's the big thing. That's part of her rant against MTV.
Even though Viacam fired me today, they couldn't help but to exploit myself and my daughter for their promotional gain. Viacam, let me go because...
center. Please leave a detailed message at the tone.
This place is
never
open. What about the Frogurt place?
Yeah, Froyo.
Froyo? Viacom, let me go because it's a business mogul. Mogul? She's a business mogul. Why is her furniture store not open then? I act like an adult and take part in adult... Oh yeah, you act like such an adult. And take part in adult promotions and activities that other adults do for free and in private. Even though I've successfully been to Gentlemen's Club's appearances, they filmed and Viacom filming the AVNs and Viacom shows and Glorify showing couples having sex on their network. But as stated today, my brand press outshines the Teen Mom Viacom press.
Oh, such, yeah, right.
Sad, such a phenomenal show will no longer have its biggest talent on the show. Oh, get over yourself. Because of womanizing, sex, shaming, hate. Oh, my God, she's fucked in the head. I've never seen a human being talk to a parent the way she does.
Or her mother.
Or Janelle. Both of them are incredible.
I remember she won't go to her mom's wedding or didn't go to her mom's wedding. Deborah.
I know.
Michael. Deborah. Michael.
She calls her parents by their first names.
Yeah. Part of her brand.
She's been doing that since she was like 17, by the way. She's called him Michael.
It's part of her anal brand. When you think of Fair Abraham, you think of calling your parents by their first name and her anus.
Oh, is she a nut?
Did you read all of this, by the way? The whole thing?
Her comment?
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
All flavors currently in store.
What?
Please check our Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter for details.
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
I'm looking at the comments.
Did that go over?
Yeah, but she doesn't need to learn anything.
I've never seen her do that. She just takes in the butt.
Okay, there's some comments underneath. Let's see what people are saying. She and that bad plastic surgery need to just go away. She's so disgusting and creepy. Thought her 50 minutes were up long ago. MTV created this person with that horrible show. Now you see young teens trying to get pregnant to be on the show. I wouldn't let my broomstick near that clown. She's gross. She's so desperate to become rich and famous celebrity, she threw away any sense of decency she had left.
Did you see she started talking about God in her post, too? After talking about her anal brand.
Nice.
She says, I give all this chapter of my life to God and all... of his glory and justice in court. If God's for you, who dare be against you? I look forward to writing my first business book and sharing all these life-changing experiences in detail. And
like your furniture store failure?
Yeah. Hashtag USA. Hashtag America. Get out there and keep being you.
How about hashtag anal?
You're much better, Y-O-U-R, much better than in all the politics and the people on the top. You could never be at the top if it wasn't for you. Hashtag God is good. Nice post.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
Brandy says,
I made that butthole.
Maybe this is a good thing, Pharaoh. Now you have time in your schedule to take parenting classes during the day, along with some other classes that are offered to help females like you. Although I've never heard of an arrogant and conceited class, I'm sure someone can offer this to you if you throw the right dollar amount at them. Ben Rick says, wait a minute, someone paid to watch this degenerate do what? Nasty girl, but she knows how to get paid for it, LOL. Bob.
She should be on suicide watch. These types of women usually get suicidal when they lose the attention they've been used to getting. Arthur says, they still haven't refunded my credit card. He was fucking the anal. He's very angry, all in caps.
Well, the guy's had blue balls for at least 6 hours.
Nasty woman. What's your talent? Fair. Here's a picture with my kid. Now watch me stick things in my poop chute. The dragon says, does she insist she's not an adult film star still? Actually, the word P word in a previous post, but TMZ, being the arbiters of all things moral in his message board, saw fit to remove it.
Ooh.
Why the long face, Farrah? Oh, that's right. You're 60% Palomino?
Huh?
Sounds like we both got pussy problems.
She needs to reschedule, as so many want to see her with something up her ass.
Oh, my God.
Poor kid looks like she's part walleye. Oh, the kid is not.
Anal will cost you extra. And,
yeah. Oh, right, but I'm her poor kid, man. I mean, I know the kid's a brat, but and she made her a brat, but that kid doesn't have a chance.
I know. It's me, bitches, says. They fired her because she's ugly and irrelevant.
And no, because she wouldn't do anal. Oh, wait, that's the other company.
Betty Glock says, how old is your daughter?
Baby's ugly.
Shouldn't she be doing videos soon?
Do you want to hear her new video? She just made one an hour ago.
Yeah, please.
Okay, yeah. Hello, everyone. I have decided to share a longer video. You can see more
great.
On my Snapchat. I was just sharing with everyone who has inquired, from reporters to Viacom Legal, who has basically stated that I have not been let go. I have not been fired. A lot of this mistreatment and awful behavior goes and speaks for the many years that I have gone to therapy. And you know, I haven't been the strongest. I've been depressed. I lost somebody who I didn't get to speak to beforehand due to anxious 11 Dia Sokol. And as well, my parents, my mother, my dad have been mind manipulated, mind fucked by.
Oh, that's classy.
What really cracks me up about this statement and about her in general. She thinks that everyone knows everything about her, that everyone's watched every episode of Teen Mom, and that all these references should make sense to us.
No.
It's kind of like the Major when he used to say that you know, Elvis recorded and that it was proof that he was alive. Yeah. He'd make all these references to all these people that
no
idea who they were. And he thought that everyone knew all of it, and she's exactly the same way.
All we know about her is that she's on Teen Mom. Calls her parents by their first name and does it.
She's a bitch to everyone. I mean, she's the nastiest person you could ever imagine. And then she did a porno and claimed that she was entrapped.
Yeah.
That there were cameras and she didn't know it. And of course, it was sold for like $19.99 a pop. And then she has a sex toy line. That's the best way to deny that you were in a porn that you were in, is to put out a sex toy line. I mean, that really, I think, gives you great credibility. Oh, my God, what a moron. Well, anyway, I want to hear some more.
I don't want to get too graphic, but she's got clear water coming out of her butt.
Morgan J. Freeman, whatever the hell his name is, who is in charge of 11th Street Productions. And as all the accomplices who are associated with fake firing me, the malicious hate crimes.
I bet you it's like.
That's a hate crime. Firing her is a hate crime.
I bet you it's like that. I told you that story once when the delivery guy fired the manager. At the McDonald's. Yes. I bet you somebody online fired her from Teen Mom, and she probably thought she was really fired.
Sex shaming, women hating, for saying you're a feminist and for... Hello, everyone. I have
decided that's it? That was the end?
Share a longer video. You can...
I guess that was it. It cut off on her. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. And she
made some great points, though.
She has, you know, on the side, just a massive text of what she said. Once again, God is great, and I have rose above, and I am success beyond all those setbacks. I look forward to sharing more in my first hashtag business book.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for making me this world a better place with me. Boss Mom, Ethics, Viacom, these are all hashtags. MTV, Teen Mom, MTV, Hate Crimes, Farrah Abraham Children's, Mom, Fake, Hate, Crime, Feminist Hate. Feminist, women power movement.
Oh, my God. What a nut. But I'm glad she's had the therapy to work all this out.
Clearly, she needs a little more.
Are her porn films good? I mean, is she good?
You haven't seen them?
Let's watch them.
I mean,
it's her with James Dean. I mean, who's a pro?
I just don't see her as being someone I want to watch have porn.
I don't know. Her fake boobs are pretty bad. Pornhub, what's this?
Horrible.
What's this lousy site? This is no X Hamster, Brandon. Nice using the main computer, too, by the
way. It's not Farrah.
You want to do it?
Wow. Yeah, doesn't matter. You're already there.
Is that her?
Yeah.
That's Farrah?
Yeah, here she
is. There's also Backdoor Mom Part 2.
I probably shouldn't be on this computer.
Yeah, too late now.
You're a superstar backdoor teen mom.
One comment on the new post. Horrible wig!
I can't see her making a ton of money in porn, because that's all that's left now. She's got to be a huge porn star.
She's already got a name, though.
Are you going to take your shoes off, too?
Wasn't planning on it. Why should I?
I don't know. I'm going to.
Well, that's because you got the badass heels that pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Let me see one thing first. Sit around. Sit down here. What? I want to see one thing, please.
What are we trying to look at?
I just want to see you open your legs while you're wearing that dress without your panties on. You said that thing and it just drove me crazy. Please.
Oh my god. No.
I'm having fun.
You're about to make a porno. What?
Oh, remember, she's trying to pretend that this was really not a porn.
Not it's today,
just a
no.
sex tape.
I forgot my brain when I came to hang out with
you. Oh, did he flirt his way into a porno?
Oh, people are like, that's James Dean. He's a porn star, you dope.
No time. You're a big master.
Tell me how you like it.
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
If you need any advice, I tell you it.
She looks enthusiastic about this part.
She's enthusiastic about all of it. I mean, she does like it.
Is she good at it?
Come here, baby.
Yeah, I guess.
Wait, she just... The guy's not even hard yet. She stopped.
Hey! Hey!
God, fucking God!
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Fucking God!
Hey!
Fuck me,
who gives a fuck?
Meanwhile, daughter's right downstairs. Right.
Yeah, she's in the daycare, remember?
Daycare center.
A Vivid Video.
That's cool that they have daycare, though.
Well, they all have kids.
He can't get his penis hard no matter.
I'm not even interested. I have no
it's
interest
like
in watching
your favorite drop. That's why I wanted to make sure you heard it.
No, I like that drop.
And then there's the other one with her on the...
This backdoor mom, too.
Just lay a ding-a-ling on a popsicle stick and put a couple rubber bands around it. And you can say, you know, sorry, it's not like the old days, but it's going to have to do, you know.
Do a lot of people really want to watch this?
Here's her on the swing.
Oh, a swing.
Oh, gross. You know, turn it off, honestly. I don't want to watch
it. Here's what you do.
She does
go
nothing.
In your backyard, you lay face down and stick your dick.
Whoa, what happened? Oh, why did it stop?
What?
Why'd the drop? I'm more.
Here's what you do.
Oh, here we
you go in your backyard, you lay face down and stick your ding dong through your hammock. You call your wife out and you say, hey, I think there's something interesting under this hammock. Dot, dot, dot.